Mercy and peace be with you from God our Father and our Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. January 4th marked an anniversary for me amongst you. It marked 7 years since I first came to serve with and among you as your pastor. And it's really hard to believe that 7 years has gone by so quickly. And I continue to be greatly blessed to serve you as your pastor. And it's an honor to serve this part of God's flock. So thank you. After 7 years of serving here in Wanamingo, most people know me by sight, but that wasn't always the case, because early on when I'd walk down Main Street and I would wave at people, they'd be like, "Who's that strange looking dude?" You know? And even my own members, if I had a hat on and I was at a game or somewhere, people'd be like, "Who are you?" Right? It's easy to get confused when we don't see people in their context, right? We're used to going to the clinic or the hospital and seeing nurses and doctors wearing scrubs and the white lab coat, and we go, "Oh yeah, that's Dr. So-and-so, or that's my nurse." Or we walk down the halls of our school, and we know Mrs. Benbrooks by sight. You know, we know Mrs. Gretha by sight. We know them because they're in their proper context. And when we hear their voice, it just confirms, "Oh yeah, I know who that is." And we feel at home, right? We know who our coworkers are at the job site. We know how they are usually dressed and what they're skilled at doing. We recognize our teammates on the basketball court as they're running around. It's easy to identify them. What about when it's 10 below outside and people are covered from head to toe as they're walking down the street dressed like the Michelin Man? Is it easy to recognize who that is out of your window? No, right? They got their hat pulled down low, scarf wrapped around their face, wearing a thick, puffy parka, snow pants and boots. Like I said, they look like the Marshmallow Man or the Michelin Man. And yet, what if they were to call out and say, "Hello, it's me, Chris." Ah, now the mystery is revealed, right? Because they have made themselves known. And that, brothers and sisters, is what the season of Epiphany is all about. Epiphany means to reveal or to make known. And so starting today and going all throughout the next 5 weeks of Epiphany, as we hear from the scriptures, what God is doing is piece by piece, he is revealing Christ to us. He is making the Son of God known through his holy word. Now, Epiphany started exactly yesterday on January 6th. My mother was born down in Puerto Rico. And Epiphany, or Three Kings Day, was a big deal down there. Now, my mom was born down there because her mother was teaching English to 400 eighth graders. She did that for 13 years. And then my grandfather was a banker who worked for the Bank of Nova Scotia. So they met, married, and that's how my mom was born down in Puerto Rico. And grandma would always tell me growing up that Epiphany was a huge celebration. Well, why shouldn't it be, right? Because Epiphany marks the time when the three wise men journeyed from the east to the west and presented the Christ child with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This marks the very first time that the Christ child was revealed to outsiders, to non-Jews, to people like you and me. So it is very worthwhile to celebrate that gift of God's Son being revealed to us, right? And so the tradition was, if you were good and you got presents from Santa Claus on Christmas, more than likely you would get a present or two on Three Kings Day. Of course, for Christians, the most precious gift we get at Christmas is the birth of our Savior, Jesus. Now, that was just 2 short weeks ago. So, as I said during the announcements, you kind of have to fast forward, use the remote control in your mind, and fast forward from Jesus as a baby to now Jesus being 30 years old. From an infant to a fully grown man, and now Jesus comes from the north in Nazareth, makes his way all the way down to the Jordan River, where he is baptized by his cousin John. Right? Now, here's something about the Gospel of Mark you should know at the outset of this year. The Gospel of Mark puts a whole lot of information into an itty-bitty few number of verses. Right? When you read Mark's gospel, it's immediately, this happened, immediately, that happened, immediately. You can tell he's in a hurry. That's because the community he ministered to and wrote the gospels for were a group of persecuted Christians. So they had to get the facts straight and get it directly because they were being persecuted. You do not get all the historical background like you do in the Gospel of Matthew. You do not get all the theological flourish like you do with the Gospel of John. Take today's Gospel, for example. When we hear about the baptism of our Lord, Mark does it in precisely 3 verses, right? Mark puts it up nice and short and sweet, and this is what he says. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." We don't get a lot of detail, do we? Mark is very succinct. And yet verse 11 is very important for us, because in verse 11, we hear God's voice telling us exactly who Jesus is. Now, remember my image of the Michelin Man or the Marshmallow Man walking down the street in wintertime? It'd be really hard to know who they were until they spoke. Well, God is doing us a favor here, because as Jesus emerges from the waters, we hear this distinct voice from heaven saying of Jesus, "You are my Son, the Beloved, and with you I am well pleased." So this is the perfect text to set up Epiphany, because we know right from the outset 3 very important things about Jesus. Jesus is God's Son, the Beloved, and he's the one that God is well pleased with. If somebody were to walk in off the street today and just hear those 3 things from the gospel, they would have a very good start to their new life as a Christian. That Jesus is God's Son, the Beloved, the one with whom God is well pleased. And that would be a solid start to their new life, because they would realize that Jesus is the one that we are to trust, and Jesus is the one we are to follow, and Jesus is the one that we are to imitate in our lives. Now, how can Mark say all these definitive things right after the baptism of our Lord? Because he knows how the story is going to end, right? He's got the inside scoop. Mark knows the trajectory that Jesus' life is going to take. And so he knows right from the get-go, we need to announce to everybody who has never heard this before, Jesus is the Holy One of God. Jesus is God's Beloved. Jesus is the one in whom God is pleased. And the reason for that is, from the moment Jesus was born until the very last breath he drew on the cross, Jesus faithfully carried out the will of his Father. And so that's the reason why God is pleased with him. He is the example of perfect faithfulness, right? He is the Savior that we are blessed to know. And so, over these next 5 weeks, as we get further and further into the Gospels, savor these details that Mark's Gospel presents us with, and take your time to kind of dive into them, because Mark has an awful lot of material that he puts in just a few short verses. So, take time to savor those details of our Lord's life, because he's the most important person in our life. He's the one we want to get to know more and more, because as we realize throughout Epiphany, this is our Savior, and we are blessed to have him be with us every day of our lives, not just at Epiphany, not just when we gather here, but every day. So get to know your Savior and say thank you, Lord, for the gift of Jesus Christ. Amen.